Today's broadcast of Bagels and Blessings has been previously recorded at an earlier time. Shalom Chaverim, that's Hebrew for hello, friends, and Shabbat Shalom, that's Hebrew for Sabbath peace. This is Ethel Chadwick. Welcome to another week of Bagels and Blessings. Today, I'm happy to bring you the testimony of Stephen Katz, but I also have new music from Joshua Aaron, Corey Keeler, you knew her as Corey Bell, and from Ted Pierce. Oh, it's going to be so much fun. And by the way, no new grandbaby yet, but stay tuned. I'll be right back. Bagels and Blessings is a ministry of Congregation Shema Yisrael. We are a messianic congregation made up of Jews and Gentiles who believe that Jesus, or Yeshua, is the promised Messiah. Our services contain Jewish liturgy and Davidic dancing, and we celebrate the Feasts of Israel. We meet at our new location at 250 Edgewood Avenue in Brighton, and our services are Saturday mornings at 10 o'clock a.m. Please join us for worship. And while you're in the building, be sure to check out the Fig Tree Messianic Bookstore and Gift Shop. Now open on Wednesdays from 3 to 5, Thursdays from 2 to 5, and Saturdays after services up till 1 o'clock p.m. You can call the Fig Tree Bookstore at 585-484-7775. The Fig Tree Bookstore and Gift Shop is a great place for books, CDs, cards, jewelry, and so much more. So be sure to check them out when you visit the congregational building. And now, when you make a purchase at the Fig Tree Bookstore, you can fill out a raffle ticket. Those names will be drawn for a prize from Bagels and Blessings. So those of you in the Rochester, New York area, be sure to visit Shema Yisrael and the Fig Tree Bookstore and Gift Shop and fill out your ticket for a chance to win a prize from Bagels and Blessings. Shalom, shalom, Yerushalayim. Shalom, 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 Yerushalayim. Shabbat shalom, Shabbat shalom, Shabbat, 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 Shabbat shalom. Shabbat shalom, Shabbat shalom, Shabbat, 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 Shabbat shalom. That was the wonderful voice of Jonathan Sattel. And right now, here is a brand new song, Corey Keeler, Rain Down. You're going to love it.
Control the wind, you control the rain.
Well, that is absolutely fantastic. This is Ethel Chadwick. You're listening to Bagels and Blessings. Here's some information on an important class that we're offering at Congregation Shema Yisrael. Stay tuned for more new music. If you have had or have been involved in an abortion decision, you may be experiencing emotional difficulties. You may feel like your life is out of control or struggle with self-destructive behaviors. You can find freedom from these challenges. The ministry Finding Freedom and Forgiveness Post-Abortion can help. Groups are forming now. Please contact us at 585-204-7869. Email us at fffpaclass@gmail.com or visit us on the internet at f3pa.org. God bless you. Again, that phone number is 585-204-7869. Call now. We really want to help. Joshua Aaron has just released a brand new CD called Live at the Garden Tomb, and it's just chock full of great songs, so I'm going to be showing you some of those too.
מה היום יקרה, אך אני מכיר אותך ואין לי ספק בך יגידו אחרים אחרת תמיד אקשיב רק לקולך כי האמת שלך גוברת על כל עובדה אם עד עכשיו קיימת כל מילה שנאמרה אני אמשיך בך לפתוח בלי בושה אני יודע שגואלי חי הוא לא בקבר הוא קם מן המתים אז גם אני קם ונחז רק כי העתיד כולו שייך לאלף ואתה עדיין אין לי את כל התשובות אפילו יש לי קצת שאלות אני מכיר אותך ואין לי ספק בך גם אם הרחקתי אתה קרוב גם אם הרעתי אתה עדיין טוב אני מכיר אותך ואין לי ספק בך יגידו אחרים אחרת תמיד אקשיב רק לקולך כי האמת שלך גוברת על כל עובדה אם עד עכשיו קיימת כל מילה שנאמרה אני אמשיך בך לפתוח בלי בושה כי אני יודע שגואלי חי הוא לא בקבר הוא קם מדם גם אני כך ונחז רק בו כי העתיד כולו שייך לאלף ועתם אני יודע שגואלי חי הוא לא בקבר הוא קם מן המתים אז גם אני כך חזק בו כי העתיד כולו שייך לאן
יודע שכל לי חי הוא לא בקר הוא קם מן המתים.
So that was actually Shiloh Ben-Hod on Joshua Aaron's new CD, and I would like to read you the English translation. I don't know the future. I'm not certain what tomorrow holds. But I know you, and I don't doubt you. It might get easy. It might get hard. No one knows what will happen today. But I know you, and I don't doubt you. Others may say differently. I will listen only to your voice, for your truth surpasses all knowledge. You've kept every word you've spoken until now. I'll keep trusting you with no shame. I know my Redeemer lives. He's not in the grave. He has risen from the dead. So I rise too, holding on to him alone, for the future belongs to the Alpha and Omega. Name above all names, he is worthy of all praise. My heart will sing how great is our God. How great is our God. Sing with me now. How great is our God. And all will see how great is our God. So I think you might have recognized some of that from that original song by Chris Tomlin, but this is all in Hebrew. And this is Ethel Chadwick. You're listening to Bagels and Blessings. I'd like to thank Excellent Air Heating and Cooling for sponsoring Bagels and Blessings. Give them a call today at 585-889-7840. They're a family-owned and operated business. Their prices are fantastic. They will take care of your air conditioner in the summer and your furnace in the winter. Give them a call today because they love the Lord and they are excellent. Excellent Air Heating and Cooling, 585-889-7840. In the past few weeks, I've been playing some new songs from Sue Samuel's newest CD, which is called Revive. Here's one I haven't played yet. It's called Chai Adonai.
From on high, Adonai stretched out and saved. He pulled me out of the deep, far from my enemy. Oh, oh. My lamp when dark. darkness comes, I can leap over a wall with you, my God.
Shalom, this is Sue Samuel, and you are listening to Bagels and Blessings.
Bagels and Blessings is a ministry of Shema Yisrael Messianic Congregation. Your tax-deductible contributions will help keep this program on the air. Make checks out to Shema Yisrael, that's S-H-E-M-A-Y-I-S-R-A-E-L, and please put Bagels and Blessings on the memo portion of your check. Send your contributions to Bagels and Blessings, Post Office Box 192, Scottsville, New York, 14546-0192. And you're invited to come and experience Messianic worship in person Saturday mornings at 10 a.m. at our new location, 250 Edgewood Avenue in Brighton.
We would love to have you come and join us. You know, I tell people you need to visit a Messianic congregation at least once just for the cultural experience. I mean, how many times have you been in a congregation where people are doing Israeli or Davidic dancing during praise and worship? Or when people will randomly just pick up a shofar and blow it during the service? It's an incredible experience. So do come and join us. We are getting so many families with children. We have a great program for children. It's called Shabbat School. So if you are local to the Rochester, New York area, please come and see us on Saturday mornings at 10 o'clock. Again, we're at 250 Edgewood Avenue in Brighton. I promised you some new music from Ted Pierce. Here it is. It's called Praise You.
Praises awaiting you in Zion, O God. And to you our vows will all be fulfilled. Oh, you who hears our prayers, it is to you that all shall come. Praise you, praise you. All the earth will shout and the rocks cry out as we praise you. Praise you, praise you. Every tribe, every tongue, every nation, everyone gonna praise you. Crown the seasons with your goodness, pastures of the wilderness overflow, meadows are clothed with flocks and valleys are mantled with grain. They shout for joy, oh yes, they sing.
This is Ethel Chadwick. You're listening to Bagels and Blessings. Again, that was Ted Pierce. Praise you. Oh, amen. That's what I'm talking about. All right, it's time for my interview with Stephen Katz. I hope you enjoy it. Stephen Katz, welcome to Bagels and Blessings.
Thank you very much.
I am just so excited to meet another believer over social media. You know, I know a lot of people say a lot of negative things about social media, but for me to find people to connect with and interview for the radio, it's just been fantastic.
Yeah, it is good for connecting people, not getting deep, but it's good to connect.
Absolutely. So, Stephen, tell me a little bit about your life as a young boy. Did you grow up in a religious Jewish home?
I grew up in the Chicago area, a suburb called Skokie, before we ultimately moved to Waukegan. And we belonged to a conservative synagogue. My dad had been Orthodox. My mom was from a pretty liberal Jewish home, even though her grandfather was a kosher butcher. I was raised conservative. It was kind of a compromise, I think.
Ah, okay. Did your family have a deep feeling about God, and did they teach you to pray at all, or was it just kind of going through the motions?
Oh, man, I wish I could say yes to those questions, but in actuality, no. Our family was very immersed in the Jewish community. I can't think of any friends of my parents who weren't Jewish, and all their activities were Jewish, from Hadassah to B'nai B'rith bowling to this and that. But no, we didn't really talk of God. We didn't pray. None of that in our home. Although I went to Hebrew school and, you know, did the normal thing.
Wow. Sounds identical to my background, Stephen. Wow. I can definitely relate. All right. Well, then, how did you find out about the Jewish Messiah? Do tell.
Wow, great question. Thanks. Well, you've already heard how I was raised, essentially, but by the time I was getting to late adolescence, like so many of us do at that age, we start questioning everything. Why are we here? Do I buy into my parents' values? You know, on and on. So I started looking for answers and meaning in life, and essentially, I couldn't find it and thought, well, okay, maybe life just doesn't have any ultimate meaning. So I went off to the University of Illinois and was actually planning to quit before I got there. I had a whole plan to be the next Bob Dylan, but that's another story. And in my first semester there, I had a Jewish professor for an advanced writing class, and through interesting turn of events, I wound up writing a research paper for him on why the Jews at the time of Jesus didn't believe he was the Messiah. I had never thought about it. This was all new exposure to me. We didn't grow up talking about Jesus, of course. So I had to see, well, what did our people in the first century expect in a Messiah? Why didn't they think he fit? So I got a Hebrew Bible in English, but a Jewish Bible, and had to look at those prophecies that our sages and rabbis said point in some way to the Messiah. And I started, this was new territory for me, even though I went to Hebrew school and Sunday school in our synagogue, we didn't talk about the Messiah. So I had lots of questions. And in addition to all kinds of books, Jewish authors, Christian authors, secular authors, I thought, I better go talk to some people who know more than I do. So I made appointments with two rabbis and with two Christian pastors, one at a time, to kind of interview them on this subject and see what I would learn. And I did that and continued my paper. And by the time I was pretty deep into it, I really started to experience an internal struggle. Like, oh my gosh, there's more to this than I expected. This might be true. What if this is true? What am I going to do with that? And I didn't really want to answer that question, even though it started surfacing. So I finished my paper. I ultimately did then, a couple months later, quit school for a time for about a year. And during that year, I was living a pretty, well, you know, certainly a non-religious lifestyle, but just a pretty hang loose kind of lifestyle, working and partying and whatever. But that next spring, my Gentile girlfriend told me one night, she says, "Hey, guess what happened last night?" I'm like, "I don't know what." "Me and Jesus got together." That's how she said it back in the 70s.
Uh-oh.
So she didn't want to scare me. Yeah. I said, "Well, okay, you know, if that makes you happy, fine." Well, I began to see her life change in some good ways. She would ask me every now and then a question about what she was reading the Bible. I'm not sure why she bounced it off me, but she did. And all the questions for my paper started flooding back into my mind. And when I was alone now and then, I would pray, "If there's a God out there, show me. If this is true about Jesus, I'm willing to find out." And as I'm sure you experienced and many others have experienced in all kinds of different ways and lots of little details here and there, I became convinced that it was true and ultimately prayed to receive Jesus as Messiah and Lord. And it's been one big adventure since.
Wow. Stephen, during this time, had you met another Jewish person that believed?
Never. No, I had not.
Oh, this is really interesting.
It's another one of those "I'm the only one" stories.
And I bet you, you know, I could be wrong, but I wouldn't be surprised if at the time you thought, "Well, I guess I'm not Jewish anymore."
You know, funny, I know a lot of people, a lot of Jewish people, that's the first big struggle. Like, "Well, if I believe that, I'm no longer going to be Jewish." I honestly never had that thought. I knew who I was. I was secure in who I was. And I didn't have that particular struggle or question.
Wow, interesting. Now, You had obviously Jewish family. Did you decide to tell them? And how did that go?
Oh, boy, that was pretty tricky. Kind of like a lead balloon, yeah. Well, so as you know, you can imagine, as an older teenager, freshman in college, our relation, well, because I had become before that time, kind of when I concluded life had no meaning, I got pretty cynical, kind of withdrawn. I didn't communicate a lot to my parents at that time. So after I became a follower of Yeshua, I thought to myself, well, you know, I'm reading the Bible. God wants me to love, honor my parents, etc. I'm just going to, begin to relate to them differently. So I would call them, we would talk, I'd tell them I love them. And I figured, let me do this for a few months and see if they notice anything different in my life. So I did that, and they did. They even said that like, "You're different, you know, something's going on." So I went home for my birthday in September, and I had planned to tell them, which I did, but I was so nervous about it that I read in the New Testament, when things are big, pray and fast about it. So I, as a new believer, did that. Of course, the only way I knew how to fast was the Jewish way. I didn't know, you know, Christians, when they fast, we'll have a little tea, we'll have a little juice, whatever. For me, it was like, nothing, no water. I didn't even have water for 3 days.
Uh-oh.
No food.
Uh-oh.
I went home so, like, you know, whatever, in that crazy kind of state. But I told them, and we sat down. I, you know, remember that paper I wrote about a year ago? Well, I now believe, you know, I told them, and it was tough. Immediately, my mother started crying, my parents were trying to figure out. They said, "You're brainwashed." They said, this was the year. I don't know if you or your listeners will remember, but 1975, the United Nations passed a resolution equating Zionism with racism.
Oh.
It's since been rescinded. But my mother said to me, "Stephen, because of that, I think there's going to be a new wave of anti-Semitism in this country, and you're just trying to hide." And then my father said, "You're putting up a wall between you and the rest of the family." And it was tough for a long, long time.
Oh, shame, guilt, the whole bit.
Yeah.
Wow, 75, yeah. That's 1 year before me. Interesting.
Oh, wow.
Wow. Okay, so tell me some ways that your life changed.
Wow. Tell me, I'm trying to tell you some ways my life didn't change. I mean, my life.
You're so Jewish. You answer a question with a question.
Well, I mean, before that time, I had been, I mean, this is a small little change, but I had been smoking 2 packs of menthol cigarettes a day, and I immediately stopped and never went back. I just had a very new sense of meaning and purpose in my life that was so deep and satisfying, because before that, life just didn't make any sense to me. As I said, in relationships, my relationships began to improve as I just became more, I don't know, I guess God made me more of a mensch toward other people, and I wasn't as self-absorbed.
That's good. That's good. And did you begin to find your way to, like, did you meet other Jewish believers? And also then did you begin to do some type of ministry work, or what else did you do?
Yeah. So I started at that time going to the church that was led by one of the pastors I interviewed for my paper. And, when he realized I was there now as a believer, he said, oh, there's another Jewish guy who's here. I want to introduce you. And he was a kind of a young guy. He might have been a master's level student at the U of I. I don't recall. But I became good friends with him. He was the first other Jewish believer I got to know. And what was the rest of your question? I spaced.
Oh, that's fine. Did you ever get involved in any ministry?
Oh, yeah, ministry, exactly. So then I was sitting out on the quad one day. That's the kind of the big open area behind the student union on campus. And I'm just sitting there, and I overheard a student talking to another student. And I'm listening, you know, I guess I was nosy. And he mentions that he's Jewish, and then I hear him say something about Jesus, and I start getting very intrigued. So after the other student disappeared, I go up to him and I said, hey, did I hear you right that you said you're Jewish and believe in Jesus? He said, yeah. So he and I became fast friends, and on campus, he and I we did start a group we actually registered with the school so we could get resources and tables and spaces. We called it Messianic Jews, and we started doing some outreach on the campus, and those were my college years. Yeah, it was kind of fun.
Fantastic. I love it, Stephen. This is great. So let's fast forward a little bit. How would you say that God is using you today?
Well, you know, I've been on the staff of Jews for Jesus now for over 30 years.
Woohoo!
Yeah. So I've done a lot with and through the ministry. I'm currently our chief of staff, which, you know, it's a highfalutin title, but what it really means is that I'm kind of a utility player, because I know how to play all the different positions. So I've got my hand in all kinds of things related to our ministry around the world, helping our executive director, as a part of our executive leadership team, helping our chief operating officers. And I do everything from soup to nuts. One interesting thing I do currently is I oversee our newly developing ministry to the Haredim, to the ultra-Orthodox communities.
Oh, tell me about that.
Well, I can only say so much because we've developed, yeah, we got to kind of keep it a little bit vague, but essentially we're trying ways to, we have a men's team and a women's team that we are experimenting with different ways to reach into the community and develop relationships with the hope of introducing people to who Yeshua is and what it means to follow him.
That's wonderful. You know, yeah. Jews for Jesus has a sweet spot in my heart, because way back in the 90s, I was living with my family in New York City, and I volunteered there a little bit occasionally. Huh. Occasionally, I'd come into Manhattan and play piano for a function, and they had a group that they started there. It was similar to Liberated Wailing Wall, but we didn't wear costumes. We didn't travel beyond New Jersey, New York, and Connecticut. But it was called the Jews for Jesus Singers, and I was part of that group.
Oh, fantastic.
And, you know, I had such a fun time, and so I'm really excited that you are part of that wonderful organization.
Well, thank you. You know, I just want to throw this in related to the ultra-Orthodox ministry I just mentioned. A lot of people don't know that they are determined to be one of the most unreached people groups in the world when it comes to the gospel. And there's an organization in New York called Global Gates that does all kinds of metrics on unreached people groups. And they have a matrix that they've put up online. And of all the top, 20 groups or so that are unreached in New York City, Jewish, primarily ultra-Orthodox Jewish groups comprise like 75% of the list. I can't remember the exact number, but a huge percentage. And so if I can encourage anyone to pray about this, it's a very important ministry that needs to grow.
Absolutely. Well, that leads right into my next question. I often ask my interviewees how you'd like us to be praying for them and their ministries. So this is the time. Lay it on.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's the segue. That would be my prayer request. You know, as we've been experimenting over the last little bit of time, I'm not going to sit here and lie and say, oh, we're seeing a huge movement. Oh, we're seeing such big results. No, we're meeting a few people here and there that are willing to talk with us secretly, privately, you know, things like that. But our prayer request would be, and we know we're dependent on this, that God will break open, you know, doors, that he'll create a breakthrough for us into these communities, and that he, through us, will reach many more people. That's our deep request.
Amen. And one last question. I know that people listening to this interview have friends and relatives in their life that simply refuse to believe. Some of my listeners are non-Jewish. Some of them are Jewish. But let's talk for a minute about the Jewish friends and relatives.
Sure.
So many of them are stubborn. And so if I asked you, how can you be sure that Jesus is for the Jews? How can you be sure, you know, and how do we know you didn't just convert to another religion? Like, what do you say to all that?
Well, that's a really great question and a really big question. How can one be sure? Well, it starts by directing your heart and your mind to God and ask him. Ask him if this is true. Ask him to, in some way, show you. God is fully able to do that. He did it in my life and the lives of so many others. So start there, or encourage your friends to start there. Challenge them to do that. But otherwise, you know, most Jewish people simply don't really know an accurate account of Jesus' words and deeds. They don't know his life. So, you know, encourage someone to read one of the Gospels. John or Matthew are great places to start. Messianic prophecy is another. I mean, there's so many answers to that question. There's so much to say.
But you've seen Jewish people come to faith in the Lord many times, haven't you?
Oh, yes. And God is bringing Jewish people to faith in Jesus on a daily basis.
Thank
Absolutely.
You, Lord. Thank you, Lord. That is very exciting. Wow. Well, it's just been a joy to talk with you, Stephen, and I pray God's blessing over you and your ministry, and I just want to thank you so much for taking your time to talk with me here on Bagels and Blessings.
Well, thank you very much, Ethel. I've enjoyed it as well, and I'm glad you reached out.
All right. Well, hopefully we'll do it again sometime.
Sounds good.
Shalom for now.
Shalom.
That was my interview with Stephen Katz, and if you missed any part of it, you can always catch the podcast, which will be uploaded to iTunes Podcast or to my page, bagelsandblessings.blogspot.com, usually by the end of the day. You can find all of my previously aired programs either in iTunes podcasts or at my podcast page. Again, that's bagelsandblessings.blogspot.com. If you do go to that page, make sure that you click on the title of the interview. They're usually in a different color, maybe red or blue, but each interview has its own write-up. For example, this one will be called Stephen Katz Interview, and that's what you would click on. Other interviews, click on the title of that show. So I hope that that clears up any confusion. Right now, we have time for more music. I'm going to pick out another one from Joshua Aaron's new CD, Live at the Garden Tomb. Enjoy.
You know my name, and I know yours. I've been where you walked, on the Galilee shores. I've seen the tomb, but I saw you rise. And I've seen miracles that I can't describe. I wanna be close to you. I wanna be close to you. I wanna be close to you, Yeshua. I wanna be close to you. I wanna be close to you. I wanna be close to you, Yeshua. And I know you're here. Your voice familiar as a song to my ears. Your power heals as it did then. And you still bring the dead to life again. I wanna be close to you. I wanna be close to you. I wanna be close to you, Yeshua. I wanna be close to you. I wanna be close to you. I wanna be close to you, Yeshua. The morning stars began. God's own love is raining o'er us, joining people hand in hand. Ever singing, march we onward, victors in the midst of strife. Joyful music leads us onward in the triumph song.
This is Joshua Aaron, and you are listening to Bagels and Blessings.
Well, those were really two exciting songs. The first one you heard was called The Ballad of John the Beloved, or Close to You. And, of course, you recognize the song Joyful, Joyful. You probably just never heard it in Hebrew before. So that was kind of cool. Well, I want to thank you for letting me into your hearts and homes today. I hope you've enjoyed the program. And I really wish that you would write me, let me know your prayer requests, let me know what's on your heart. You can email me at bagelsandblessings@gmail.com, bagelsandblessings@gmail.com. I would love to hear from you and just know what you're thinking, what you're feeling, and maybe there's music that you would like me to play on the air. Let me know, and, you know, what are your favorites? All right, well, it's come to the end of our time together, and right now we're going to enjoy the Aaronic Benediction with Phil Klein.
Yivarechech Adonai v'yismorecha Yager Adonai panav alecha v'ikunecha Yes, Adonai, Panam Alecha, V'yasem Lecha, Shalom.
Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. This is Ethel Chadwick saying Shalom Alechem, peace be with you. Remember, every day of your life is an opportunity to be a blessing to someone. Thank you so much for listening to Bagels and Blessings. Shalom.